Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, as we continue our series on how to live and how to die tonight, we're focusing on that third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we just confessed, Luther's explanation of that petition says, what does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. When you think about those words, thy will be done, what comes to mind? What do those words ask of us?
To give up control.
Pardon me?
To give up control.
To give up control, okay. This is audience participation. We Lutherans aren't good at this.
Trust,
okay. Have you ever had any particular situations in which you've used that prayer, where that portion of the prayer, where it's been important for you, significant for you? I would guess. I'm not asking you to give examples. I'm not trying to out you that much. When I think of that phrase, when I pray that, I generally think, God, may my will be your will. My child is sick and is going through so much. Please restore his health now. But, not my will, but yours be done. Do you think that way too? Does that kind of work for you guys as well? Lord, this, that, or the other thing is happening. Please do this thing. But thy will be done. But I have to be honest here. As I pray that, I already know what I want the outcome to be and how it is to be done. I don't know, do you find that to be true for yourselves? You know, it seems natural, doesn't it? Our way actually makes most sense. And while we know God's way is better, we still have definite ideas on how things are to turn out. And when they don't, when things move too slow, or when what happens doesn't seem to make sense, or the outcome isn't what we expected, we get upset. Sometimes we even get angry. It's hard to pray and actually mean, thy will be done. Luther put it this way, it is really frightening to hear ourselves say, thy will be done. It's so hard to simply give up our own desire to control things, even to give them up to God. We find a good example of someone else who had a hard time saying thy will be done and actually meaning it in our gospel reading tonight. Now, Luke doesn't identify the man who cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, but John in his gospel does. Anybody have any guesses as to who that was? Peter. Why is that not surprising? When push came to shove, God's will made no sense. So he felt it was time to take drastic action to correct the situation. Actually, that was pretty much Peter's way of dealing with a lot of things. Right at the beginning of their relationship, he already began to question Jesus' judgment. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets." "Jesus, you should stick to carpentry or teaching, because obviously you're no fisherman. But I am, and I know no one's catching fish today. But I'll humor you." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Now, you would think that that event would have been a pretty convincing thing to Peter, but he still had a lot to learn. I'd encourage you sometime just to kind of go through, take your concordance and look at all the different places where it comes up with Peter being singled out in the gospel. I think you'll be impressed. Well, maybe not so impressed. Perhaps the most familiar event of Peter resisting God's will is when Jesus and his disciples were in Caesarea Philippi. Jesus had been praying. Surprise, surprise. I mean, he does that a lot, doesn't he? When he has something he has to figure out, when he has something he needs to announce, when he has something that's going to happen, where does he go? To prayer. Jesus had been praying, and when he finished, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples had ready answers. "Oh, John the Baptist, Elijah, maybe one of the prophets sent back from the dead." And then Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, the Christ of God." Well, I think we all remember what happened next. For the very first time, Jesus goes on to clearly state what's in store for him. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Now, Peter had just declared that Jesus was the long foretold Messiah, the Christ of God. And by that time, he'd been with Jesus for over 2 years. And he had seen Jesus do many miraculous things, things that would have been impossible for just any mere man. But this is too much for Peter. This isn't the way things are supposed to be. So Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Now, Peter didn't just take Jesus aside and have a little quiet conversation with him. To rebuke somebody means to express sharp disagreement, disapproval. "Jesus, this will never happen if I have anything to say about it. How can you say something so crazy? That's not what the Messiah does." But Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter, you're not resisting God's will, but your will is in line with the devil. In the longer document from which the quotes on the insert for tonight are taken, Luther writes this about our will. "You may say, well, did God not endow us with a free will? And I reply, to be sure, he gave you a free will, but why do you want to make it your own will? Why not let it remain free? If you do with it whatever you will, it's not a free will, but your own will. God did not give you or anyone else a will of your own. Your own will comes from the devil and from Adam, who transformed the free will received from God into his own. A free will does not want its own way, but looks only to God for direction. God did not give you or anyone else a will of your own. Your own will comes from the devil and from Adam, who transformed the free will he received from God into his own. A free will does not want its own way, but looks only to God's will for direction." See, this is exactly what Jesus said to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. By following what you want done, you're making it clear that you're in league with the devil himself. I think we pray this prayer most often passively. What I mean by that is we think of it as a submission of our will to God's will. Kind of tag it on to the prayer just to make it right sometimes, you know. Pray, 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 but your will be done. Well, it's certainly supposed to be our will submitting to his, but the reality is we're no different than Peter. We mouth the words, but we still have our own answer as to how things are supposed to be. Yes, Father, you truly are God. But let me tell you what my God, what my Lord, should look like and do. That's pretty bold. It truly is hard to say and actually mean, thy will be done. In fact, it's dangerous because if we're not all in, which we probably never are, we set ourselves up not just for disappointment, but possibly for a real crisis of faith. In that gospel reading last Wednesday, Peter declared, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And yet, despite what Jesus had told them about the path that lay before him, despite the fact that he had prayed to his Father that if there were any other way, take this cup from me, when Jesus is betrayed and about to be arrested, Peter draws a sword in an attempt to stop Jesus by force, to go down swinging. That doesn't really seem like such a bad thing to do when you think about it. I'm going to protect this guy. I love this guy. But what appears to be on the surface a righteous action is in actuality Peter's own plan. But even more so, the devil's plan. On that insert, we read, in this petition, you will notice that God bids us to pray against ourselves. In that way, our Father teaches us that we have no greater enemy than ourselves. You see, our will is the most formidable element in us, and against it we must pray. O Father, do not let me get to the point where my will is done. Break my will. Resist it. No matter what happens, let my life be governed not by my will, but by yours. In this petition, you will notice that God bids us to pray against ourselves. Not just, God, your will be done. See, this can't be overstated. When we pray, thy will be done, we must think of it not just as, Father, I'm going to sit back, let your will be done, but also, Father, break my will. Don't let my will hinder what you want done. Why do we get so upset and angry when we pray for something to happen or not to happen, and it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, at least according to us? Because we don't really trust. Just as Adam and Eve didn't really trust that God's will is best for us. And that's exactly what Satan wants for us. If he can tempt us to believe that what we want is really the best thing, then he can use the fact that our will doesn't square with God's will against us. You see, he doesn't have to work very hard at making us think that our will is best. That's our default. Remember what I said last week about our default? It's the way we're wired. It's the way we're programmed. All because of that first act of disobedience. It's the way we think because we're self-centered and we're self-focused. Luther put it this way. Such a petition or its fulfillment is indeed very painful to our human nature. For our own will is the greatest and most deep-rooted evil in us. And nothing is dearer to us than our own will. So when things don't work out the way we want them to, despite the fact that we prayed and prayed and prayed, thy will be done, the devil uses that to sow greater seeds of doubt about God's love for us and about the truth that his good and gracious will is always best. So we're asking the question, how are we to live? We're to live, according to this petition, trusting God's will over our own. It's not easy. Tonight we've seen why that's so difficult. Most often when we pray, thy will be done, we really mean my will be done. Let's face it. And I would venture to guess that each of us has already experienced the disappointment and maybe even anger that takes place when God's will isn't our will. And when that happens, our only response can be, forgive me, Father. Break my will and make it yours. That's a dangerous prayer. It's as dangerous and maybe more dangerous than, Lord, give me humility. But it's a necessary danger. Because when we continue to resist God's will, we place ourselves in an even greater danger as we make ourselves ripe for the devil's temptation and hinder the maturation of our faith, which is to learn to lean on God for all things. But when you waver and fall, which you will, take heart. You're in good company. Peter battled with this even after the Lord's death and resurrection, even beyond the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We read in Acts that Peter was one of the first to hear directly from the Lord that Gentiles were included in the promise of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And yet Peter still struggled to come to grips with God's will regarding non-Jews. In Galatians, Paul tells us that he had to confront Peter. You see, Peter would eat with Gentiles until the Jews who believed that Gentiles had to become Jews in order to receive salvation came around. Then Peter would separate himself from the Gentiles, and that caused no small amount of confusion. So Paul very sternly rebuked Peter. If Peter struggled with trusting the Lord's will over his own, should we be surprised that we struggle with it as well? Thank God for his forgiveness, right? And you know, there may be no greater time that you need to let God's will be your will when your death or the death of those you love draw closer. And as you face your final enemy, you'll likely be tempted in ways that you've never been tempted before. Being asked to make decisions that you would never consider unless you were in that situation. And that's when you need to know that God's will truly is best. This isn't something you can do on your own. You'll need your Father in heaven to be your strength until the day you die. But his promise is sure. He will never leave nor forsake you. Not in life, and certainly not in death. Amen.